Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus commissions his disciples with a worldwide missionary assignment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Evangelism was the final instruction from Jesus to his followers. Today, generations later, the Great Commission remains the greatest calling of Christians to a lost world. Welcome to Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, presented by Galcom International. On today's Mission Compass, we invite you to engage with us in fulfilling the Great Commission as we talk with mission workers about what God is doing through them as they share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hello, friend, and welcome today to the radio ministry of Galcom International. Our program is Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. Our host for Mission Compass is Tim Whitehead. And Tim, before you introduce our special guest today, talk to that listener who may be tuning in right now to our program for the very first time. Tell us about Galcom International and why we do what we do.
Well, thank you, Ron. Yeah, it's important to know why you do something. And so here at Galcom, the reason we use radio, solar-powered fixed-tune radio receivers, and building radio stations is because, first of all, 70% of the world doesn't read. Either they can't or they won't. It's just not part of their culture. And so you need to deliver the gospel in audio form. Secondly, there's political and geographical barriers. Think North Korea. You can't go there as a missionary. We do a lot of work amongst the Quechua, way up 15,000 feet up in the Andes. Geographical barriers. But a radio signal reaches these areas that people can't easily get to. Another reason why we do what we do is because of the lack of workers. There simply aren't enough missionaries going around the world. But if you give somebody a microphone, and some equipment, and a tower, and an antenna, now they're reaching tens of thousands. Like, just listening here, think about where you live. I'm in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Google map it and see how far I am from your home. You might be listening in Kingman, Arizona, or out in Alberta, northern Alberta somewhere. It would be very difficult for us to have a face-to-face conversation, but radio solves that problem. One person with the right equipment can reach a large area and a large population. So Ron, that is why we do what we do here at Galcom, using radio. And that's what we're going to talk about today with our very special guest.
Thank you, Tim. You can learn more about Galcom International and how you can join us in what is the greatest calling for Christians, and that is to tell others about Jesus. Just look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, or you can visit our website at galcom.org.
Well, thanks again, Ron, joining us. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, our missions team lead, Al Wyatt, was down in Mexico with a team of people putting in a radio station. And we love to get a report back to find out just how God performed always these small miracles for us in getting this work done. So Al's here to tell us his story. Al, great to just, I guess, take a break from all the work you're doing here around the office and to just reflect on what God really did through you and the team there in Mexico.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, Tim. And certainly I do give the glory to God. What we did in Mexico, humanly speaking, would not have been possible. And it was only as we saw God come through that we were able to do what we did. An example of that was up until probably a month before we were going, we thought we had the team complete. And I wasn't going at that point, and Don Middleton wasn't going. Last time we spoke briefly about how that we had trouble putting the antennas on the top of the tower, and had I not been there, we wouldn't have been able to do that. Had Don not been there, the whole connection between the studio and the tower, or the link, would not have happened. It absolutely would not have happened, because Don was just amazing in what he did. And so we saw God just come through in those two areas, if nothing else. And I can give you a lot of examples.
Yeah, you know what? I want to take us through this. I've often said that here at Galcom, we trust God for everything, for the resources, for the people. And it's our job simply to be obedient, good stewards. When God provides us financial resources or people resources, we're to be good stewards of our time even. And so I know there's a lot of people listening that have given financially to Galcom. So I want to kind of open the curtain a bit, kind of go behind the scenes. How do we decide to work with a particular missionary, building them a radio station? Because this is usually pretty substantial, $20,000, $30,000 in once all the costs are all done. And so maybe kind of let's report back. How did we get introduced to Pastor Octavio down in Vicente Guerrero, Mexico in the first place?
Well, he wrote to us over a year ago now, requesting a radio station, and that's not unusual. I mean, I was just counting this morning, and we had requests from over 20 people, 21 at least, people asking for assistance putting in a radio station.
Just since January this year?
Just since January this year. Wow. And I mean, I could give you the list, but they're from all over the map. I mean, Sierra Leone, Tanzania, Mexico, Central African Republic, Liberia, Cameroon, Venezuela, Philippines, Moldova, Nepal, Turks and Caicos, Guatemala, Togo, Zambia, Mozambique, Ghana, Cuba.
And so when they email you, do they say how they heard about Galcom?
And that's my first question to them, because I want to kind of feel who they are. And, you know, I mean, if they just see you on the internet and, you know, asking is free, right? So you have to try and weed your way through. Okay, you know, I'll ask for something too if it doesn't cost me anything. Now with email, it's very easy to send an email out and so on. So first thing I do is I'll send them an application. I'll ask that question, how did you hear about us? And then I'll send them an application. And when I get the application back, it tells me stuff like where they're located, who they are, what association they may be with. Are they independent or are they with a group of people? What are they actually needing? Are they trying to reach a certain population, a certain people group? How many different language groups might be in their area? And this kind of thing.
And on the other side, too, we're asking for their certification as an NGO in their country. We're looking at their doctrinal statement to make sure that they're fit as a partner for us. So it's a pretty thorough application that you're going through.
Yeah, it sure is. And I think you've hit the nail there when you talk about doctrinal statements. I mean, we're a Christian evangelical organization, and we have our beliefs, of course, and the donors that send in money to us also have similar beliefs to us. And so we have to make sure that we're not helping people that are not preaching a false gospel. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing we do. And that can be hard because you can be anything, you know, out there. I mean, you've heard the story, I think there's a song and it goes on something like, when you're on the internet, you can be 10 feet tall, you can be a man or you can be a woman, you can be anything you want. And really, without knowing the person that you're talking to, you have no idea. And the same thing is true. And so, you know, things like we'd ask the question, you know, well, who are your mentors? And that gives us an idea of who we're dealing with. We'll ask questions like, well, who are you going to air? And so then we can look at who those people are, and that will give us an idea of the doctrine.
And we also belong to two associations, particularly one called COICOM, which is a network of Latin American Christian radio stations, and one called Africa by Media, or Africa by Radio was the old name of it. And so we can often go to those associations and say, do you know this person? Are they affiliated? You know, and then they know them face-to-face, talking about
hiding behind
the internet, the computer screen.
And then ultimately, what we've decided recently is where at all possible, we're going to send someone down and evaluate, you know, talk to the people in the area. You know, what do you think about this pastor and what kind of a reputation do they have or whatever? And that way we can do our best to eliminate that. So once we've decided that, you know, we can philosophically, we can work together, and once we see that there's a need, the next question is, do we have a team of people? Are we equipped to be able to go over and to help? Do we have the resources to go and help?
Because we haven't said yes to all 20 plus of those requests this year.
That's correct. Yeah, there's two of them which I'm moving forward with at the moment, two, possibly three I'm moving forward with. Some of them I noticed they've got other options. They can go to other places for help. And so we're just one of them. That's the other thing too. They don't just send it and ask to us. They'll ask, you know, and they'll be quite clear about that. We've asked this organization, that and the other. And so, and sometimes we work together with those other organizations too. They can put in part of the puzzle and we can complete it, or vice versa.
So how many have we helped so far? So this is July, so we're halfway through the year, just past halfway through the year here. Out of 20 plus requests, how many stations have we said yes to?
Okay, so we're working on about three or four of those requests seriously right now. But we have actually installed this year from last year's, from obviously stuff that was began last year, We've seen an installation in Kenya, one in Zambia, one in Mexico, one in Liberia, one in Belize. We've done an upgrade in Pompeii, one in Yap.
And that's in Micronesia.
Right. Where's Pompeii? Another one, Yap, you know. Where's Yap? Same area of the world, same organization. And one in Colombia, and we helped Tony in Albania with a transmitter need that he had. So that's about 7 installs and 2 repairs, yeah.
So you've been busy this year.
We've been busy. I wouldn't say I have. I mean, somewhat, you know, I'm involved in this, but we, thankfully, we've got partners too, right, which help us. And that's a big part of what we do, right? We need partners.
Absolutely. So before talking about another partner, we're going to take a break for our partners at Guidelines to Share from God's Word. But real quickly, so we've talked about how we choose the partner, how they find out about us, how we kind of select them. And now you talked about, just started to mention a team. How do we find these people that are volunteering to travel with us to put in stations?
Well, that's another God thing because, and it seems that God just sends the right people at the right time. We have a list of people who've been working with us for 10, 12 years going on trips. I mean, I mentioned Don Middleton. He's one of our guys. He's been to Africa a couple of times. He's been to Eastern Europe. He's been to Indonesia. He's been to South America, Central America. So he's done a lot with us. Bob Gaines, our climber, and the famous Bob.
Yeah, with his red helmet and his big beard.
And his big beard. He's been on lots of our teams and in lots of our pictures. He's been in the same thing. I can say the same thing about Bob. We've got other people, too, which are maybe not quite so known, like Laszlo. Laszlo Barani, and Laszlo is an elderly gentleman that has so much radio RF experience. He'd never been on an install before, but he always helps us with our propagation. So, you know, part of what we have to do, too, is figure out what equipment might be needed. So our partner will say, well, I need to reach a certain area, and the terrain is such and so. And so we give that information to Laszlo, and he plots it, and he'll tell us what size of transmitter we might need, how tall the tower would be, what kind of antennas we would use. And so once again, a guy that's just been quietly working from home in California, and he went with us to Mexico. But it's people like that, and sometimes they just show up out of the woodworks, and sometimes we've got them on a list of people. But yeah.
We want to talk more about saying yes to God. That's really the purpose of our program here, Mission Compass, is to present to you opportunities to get involved. And we're going to keep talking about this team that God put together. But first, we're going to share from God's Word. Our friends at Guidelines, Bonnie Sala and her team there, have been sharing in the middle of our program. And we're going to give them some time now. So don't go away.
Life just happens. The good, the bad, and yes, the ugly. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Jesus was a realist. He said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. So it's normal for life to be a journey of hills and valleys. Some people are if only people. If only this or that would happen, then I'd be happy, fulfilled, or at peace. But Jesus calls his followers to a radically different way of life, one that it's possible to live only in his power. Jesus' followers are to be even if people. Even if I lose my job. Even if my parent suffers dementia. Even if I am lonely, I will continue to press into and trust Jesus. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, urges Philippians 1:27. John Beeman calls this the whatever life. The whatever life is consistent no matter what. It says first that life is hard and sinning makes it harder, but Jesus is Lord. Jesus said that life would be hard, and then he said, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. His sufficiency is more than enough for our pain. That is why the whatever life can say, I will rejoice. God works in our willingness to rejoice in every circumstance. Elizabeth Elliot used to say, the secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. So the whatever life acknowledges the difficulties, rejoices in the sovereignty and power of Jesus available to us, and then the whatever life stays on mission no matter what. Jesus follower, who is walking with you that desperately needs to see you living out the whatever life? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To hear this again, read or share this, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Welcome back to the Mission Compass. I'm your host, Tim Whitehead, with Galcom's very own missions team lead, Al Wyatt, just back from a radio installation in Mexico for Pastor Octavio Valenzuela. We've been kind of letting you in behind the scenes, seeing how the sausage is made here at Galcom. How do we choose who we work with? How do we get a team together? And Al, you just were sharing with us, but all that prep work that Laszlo, one of our volunteers, does for us, what's called the propagation study. If we want to reach a certain geographical area, we have to determine the power of the transmitter, height of the tower, type of antenna, and all this costs money. So how much work do you and the volunteer team put in to designing a station?
Yeah, I mean, basically, once we get the guidelines from Laszlo, we also get the information from the field to know kind of what they're looking for, too. It depends on where you're going. Some countries require, you don't just have one studio. You may need more. You may need a production studio and an on-air studio, and some even require a newsroom. So there's quite a bit goes into it. So once we know what we're looking at, we have to buy all the equipment. And, you know, then because we're in different countries, where do we buy it? Do we buy it here and ship it? And nowadays with shipping...
It's been a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. Or do we try to buy it on the field? How can we be assured that we're buying quality on the field? Sometimes you can get it cheap, but you know what cheap sometimes means. Not the best. And so... yeah, do we buy it here? Do we buy it there? What do we get? So once we've got the list together, we begin the purchasing of the equipment and the shipping of the equipment, getting it in the country, and then getting the team ready, too. Who needs to go? Who's going to be the best person to go on this team with us?
Roughly this year, you talked about putting in 7 stations so far, working on another 3 or 4. And I know the costs really vary because, as you said, depending on restrictions or requirements in a country, depends on what you have to do. And even just the height of the tower, you know, you make a 50-foot tower versus a 100-foot tower is a big financial difference. But what range are we talking about when we have to raise money for a station?
The one we just did in Mexico, there was a tower already there. And so that saved some money, but it was about 16,000 US to put that station in. We've had some that we did. I think one of the ones we did in Africa was well over 40,000 US.
I think that's because we had to put in solar panels and batteries, control inverter, because where we were putting it in, there was no other power source. And that's a big expense too. And it really affects what we're doing and where we're doing it.
That's right. And we're getting lots of requests too for solar these days. The cost of oil, the cost of equipment going up and everything.
So this is, I asked that question just to kind of relay to our friends listening that this is a substantial investment. This is why we take it so seriously. This is why we take so much time in vetting the partner, in putting the team together, in getting good equipment. How far? I don't think you were too remote this time. You've had some other remote ones. I know you've personally gone to Indonesia and other places, but it's not like you're going to, there's no local hardware store where you're going most of the time. Like, you have to have working equipment.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even something like a U-bolt to hold an antenna or something like that. We were fortunate down in Mexico because there was a hardware store there.
So, there really was?
Yeah, there actually was. It was actually pretty good. And we were probably only about 250 kilometers from San Diego. Not that you want to cross over that border. And the drive isn't like driving 250K here. But still, we weren't far, far out. But there's places you go and, you know, you need a U-bolt, you need a nut and bolt, and you can't even find it.
Well, you were on one of the remote islands of Indonesia. I think one of the, shortly after you started here at Galcom, we shipped you off right away for, you know, a trial by fire. And that's a case there. There would have been nothing where you were.
Oh, there was nothing. No, I mean, we had to take 4 planes and they kept getting smaller and smaller. Until we got to where we were going. I mean, there wasn't even a bathroom in the airport when we landed, so... yeah, no, there would have been nothing like that. We did forget towels, actually. It was a funny thing. And we were able to go to this local market and we all ended up with 4 guys with 4 pink towels because that's all we could get.
that's not the worst thing that could happen out in the mission field. So hey, now we're getting off a little bit off on a buddy trailer. So back to the trip in Mexico. So God provides the funds. We have donors, financial partners here at Galcom that have been giving towards our radio station projects. There's others that we specifically ask and say, can you help with this project? Then you mentioned the team right off the top. You started talking about this incredible way God provided the team. What kind of people are qualified to go with you on one of these installs?
Well, I think people nowadays who are techie, like Don Middleton, I mentioned him. He's kind of like Houdini, by the way, you know. I mean, honestly, I would have been tied up in a knot. If I would have been Houdini, I would have drowned. You know, they put him in a tank all tied up. I would have drowned on the first day. But Don, just you tied him up and he kept getting out. There were so many technical things that because of Don's computer background, he was able to find his way out. So, you know, you think to yourself, RF or computers might be two different things, but actually now with the links that we're using and the technology that's going in, computers is a big asset. So that it would be one area. Bob is a tower climber. And I mean, he spent years and years on the towers. In fact, I remember you saying to me, you met him, right, at a mission conference. He said, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a pastor or whatever. And you said, what do you do? And he said,
he was working for the telecom company in the U.S. I'm a technician. I climb towers and hang cable. And I said, Bob, you are here to meet me. To your point that God provides these people to us. Like, what are the chances that I would meet him at a conference in Murrieta Springs, California? Yeah. God brought them there. And friends, I believe if you're listening, God has got you listening for a reason. Maybe he's speaking to you. So we got computer people, tower climbers, someone like Dan Peacock, who's gone on a number of trips. What's his background?
He's a handy guy. I mean, he builds canoes, he builds toboggans, he fixes things. And so having a fixer or a troubleshooter, someone that can think outside the box is really what you need, because you mentioned you can't just go to the hardware store and buy what you need. So you have to make what you have work. Then John Hornapel, master electrician, came to us. And I mean, he's been on installs with solar systems and electrical work. Invaluable. We don't always need electricians, but there's times when we can't manage without John Hornapel. You know, he's an amazing guy.
We'd love to add your name to this list of volunteers. Like Bob's comment, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I don't preach. That's not my thing. I work with my hands. And those are the people that we need here at Galcom. And the only thing we can promise you is a great adventure and a really fulfilling part of your life, life-changing, going on one of these trips and putting your God-given gifts, talents, experience, education, certifications, giving them to God in service. Al, if someone wants to get in touch, kind of get on that list of, let me know the next time you're going somewhere and you can tell them what kind of what they have to do as far as their shots and their passport and all that stuff. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, probably the best way, Tim, is to email me. And my email address is Alistair, A-L-A-S-T-A-I-R, at Galcom, galcom.org.
We had to go with the Alistair because we had a couple of Alans here when you joined. So we had to go. We couldn't call you Al. Wouldn't work.
Yeah, so Al didn't work. No, too many of us.
But friends, we'd love to have you come on one of these install trips. Al and I were just chatting. Money is an issue. That's one. But I think God always seems to come through, but it's the people we need. We need people with qualifications that are willing to say yes to God to go on one of these trips. Al, any last thing? We got the station up. How many people are we reaching?
I can tell you that as we were driving away from the station, that we were picking up the station 100 kilometers away, which was phenomenal. Yeah.
Great work. Friends, if you have any questions about how we do things at Galcom, why we do things at Galcom, I'd love to hear from you. All the information's at the end of the program. And if you want to get involved, A-L-A-S-T-A-I-R, Alistair at galcom.org. He'll get you on the list. We'll tell you where the next trip that we're headed to. Al, do you know the next place we're thinking of putting a station in?
Could be South America somewhere. Venezuela.
Ooh, Venezuela. That's an adventure. Al, thanks for taking us behind the curtain, sharing with everyone just how we do this here at Galcom.
You're very welcome, Tim. Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled galcom.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.